So another question, kind of working my way back through practical realities, is the issue of the patient with a targetable mutation, EGFR, ALK, BRAF, et cetera, the non-smoker. And up until recently, I was hearing investigators say, we're delaying IOs in those patients until they've at least had chemo once, maybe more than once. And then I think it was only recently, like at ASCO, I started to hear people talking about, okay, yeah, they're going to get their targeted therapy as long as it works, first line, second line, but once that's over, it's going to be chemo plus an IO. Is that where we are with that?
So I think this is the result of IMpower150, because in all the combination trials, patients with targetable alterations were excluded. So in the KEYNOTE trials and all the other immunotherapy trials, CheckMate 227, these patients were clearly excluded because we know that IO monotherapy does not work in that group of patients with oncogenic alterations. I have to say, because I'm the PI of IMpower150, I was quite surprised when I did observe this result coming out of IMpower150 describing the increased efficacy even in the group of patients with pretreated oncogenic alterations.
But, and again, these patients that had targeted therapy.
Yes, they were pretreated. So if they were eligible for IMpower150, they had a previous treatment with at least one line of targeted therapy. So we do not have any information how many lines of targeted therapies did they receive. We even do not know the molecular status, whether they had a T790M mutation, yes or not. But we had documented that each of these patients had received at least one line of targeted therapies before they were randomized in the IMpower150.
These are what, mainly EGFR?
Yes, the majority. We had few patients with ALK. We had the same signal also for the ALK patients, but I have to tell you that this is rather exploratory, the hazard ratio, the confidence interval. These were very, very few patients, so we will need additional data for this group of patients. But I think the concept of combining anti-angiogenic treatment and IO is quite fascinating. Even in particular for those patients with EGF receptor mutations who progress and who do not have a T790M mutation as a resistance mutation. So, for example, we are entering now the area where we have the first-line AURA data. Osimertinib is available as a first-line treatment, and currently we do not have any idea what to do if a patient progresses after osimertinib. And this could be a very interesting opportunity for those patients receiving the combination of IO anti-angiogenic treatment and perhaps a little bit of chemotherapy.
When you say a little bit of chemotherapy, what exactly?
Well, the data are generated for IMpower150. This is a full-dose chemotherapy with carboplatin paclitaxel. But we have to realize this is also an exhausting schedule. And a patient who already had received perhaps 2 years of osimertinib and had some deterioration of the performance status may be not eligible for this exhausting four-drug combination. So I think we have to work on the chemotherapy schedule. And personally, I do not believe that each patient really needs the full dose of this chemotherapy. We need the impact of the chemotherapy. But I think perhaps we can achieve this with a modified dose or modified schedule of cytotoxic drugs.
What about, I mean, obviously you have the pembro-carbo possibility, but what about nab-paclitaxel and carboplatin?
Well, this is also very attractive. So we have seen in squamous that the data are quite good. And we know there is a press release for another combination trial with immunotherapy using the combination of carbo and nab-paclitaxel. We are going to see the results in one of the autumn meetings, either World Lung or ESMO. And I think this is also a quite good backbone chemotherapy for the combination with checkpoint inhibitors.